This is On Location. I'm Tim Leitner. Today's episode comes to you from Michigan, North Dakota, and Alaska. But first, On Location is produced by the NCA Communications Committee with special production assistance from Joe Mamlin and me. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, Breaker, iHeartRadio, and Radio Public, among others. So subscribe today on your favorite podcast service and tell all your friends. On today's program, I host current NCA President Aaron Frisch, the 4D Director of the Michigan Child Support Program, and immediate past President Jim Fleming, Director of the Child Support Section of the North Dakota Department of Health and Human Services. The conversation resumes as they talk about their challenges, successes, and passions, both during the past NCA year and for the new year ahead. They talk about NCA's name change, the Leadership Symposium in Anaheim, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and so much more. Today's edition is part two of this conversation. You don't want to miss today's completion, and if you haven't heard part one, don't forget to check it out. It's going to be a great show, so stick around, and we'll be right back. So, Jim, what about your greatest achievement or success for this past year?
So I don't know if I would label them my achievements, because I think really I think it was the board and the NCA membership that led us different places. The name change was a huge thing. But actually, the name change was something that I brought up when I was on the verge of my presidency beginning, when I just thought that the board meeting in August of last year was the time to bring it up. And I was really grateful that the outgoing board last year agreed that it was time to do that. And then we committed on that path. And I began my presidency on kind of that new chapter of how do we make this happen. So I was really appreciative that that decision had been made last summer. In the current year, Aaron said it, the year goes fast. It was important to me that we continued to develop the legislative package. I know we will never get unanimous support on every aspect of that plan. But I think the better we can communicate it, the more comfort there will be and the more agreement we can accumulate that this would really move the program in a good direction. At the same time, I know that there are some revisions out there that have been proposed that I wish I had a time machine and could go back and express those in the formative stages, because I think it's really good impact. So certainly, even though we haven't submitted it yet, the refinement of the legislative package, the crystallizing of where we see some of the room for improvement, I think is something that we can all look back on the last year and be happy with. The organization's health just continues to be really strong. We've got very strong membership. The corporate partners program, we lose one, gain one every year, you know, during the course of the year, but it's going strong, and we've gained more over the years. So the corporate partners program is strong. It provides a foundation of economic support as well as expertise to support the events. So it's continued to be strong. The free webinars continue to be a great thing to have. You yourself have been at the heart of podcast listening that goes off the charts in terms of how it's increasing. And I think it just brings a big sense of community for people to be able to listen to podcasts. So there's a lot of things a person could look at over the last year. You know, I laughed with somebody, I don't remember when, I said, well, the first job of the president is not to foul things up, not make things worse. Be a good steward, you know, keep it running down the road. Don't land in the ditch until the next president comes over and does the same thing. So I think the last year we've managed to avoid the ditch. I think we've really continued to strengthen as an organization, and really with the legislative package and implementing the name change, I think we just continue to evolve NCA as the organization that it can be and that the members want to have.
So Jim, I've got to ask, what was your biggest surprise over the last year?
Well, other than Anne-Marie's retirement, which really shouldn't caught me by surprise because I knew that she was itching to be a full-time grandma, it had to have been the dang IRS. You know, Infernal Revenue Saboteurs is my name for them, IRS, because they sabotage whatever effort we were going to make to getting things done for NCIA this year with that alert in February. Is after 20-some years of holding something in abeyance and really being a given that we didn't have to worry too much about, to have that change and just look at all of the energy and stress that it has caused in the last 6 months. It's just that was a challenge, and it'll continue to be one. And it's just unfortunate because it's taken energy away from the program service delivery and really putting us in a protective mode to even not mess up what we got going. And it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, that's so true. Then Aaron, you're coming into NCIA's presidency for the 2023-2024 year. In addition to the service and roles with NCIA over the many years, let me ask a few questions here, just kind of get a sense of what's happening for you. What other child support associations have you served on, and kind of in what capacity? You've mentioned them a little bit at the forefront here. And then as you're led to pursue this role with NCIA as president, what led you to this opportunity? What are some of the areas of focus for the next year outside of the theme? And what are you hoping to accomplish the most?
Yeah, that's a set of big questions. So I will start with easy ones first. I've served as president of the National Council of Child Support Directors, NCCSD, and in really all the officer roles except for treasurer of that organization, as well as been regional rep for many years. This is the first year, this past year has been the first year in many years that I have not been on NCCSD's executive committee at all, either as a committee chair or a rep or in the executive committee. So that has been an organization that I've devoted a lot of my time and talents to. What led me to pursue the role of president at NCIA was a couple of things. One, people started asking me, hey, have you considered president? Would you be interested in it? And I really struggled for a couple years with whether this was something I wanted to do. And I think that's because when I first started thinking about it from a sort of selfish perspective, like what was in it for me? And I really was like, well, I really have nothing to prove to anyone anywhere that I am a leader in this program. I don't need the credential of president. And, you know, I'm involved no matter whether I'm president or not. This program and this community have won my heart. And so I'm not going anywhere no matter what. And then I had a conversation with a former NCIA president and friend and mentor, Scott Cade. And Scott reminded me that this wasn't about me in a very gentle way. Of course, I don't think he even realized that's what he was doing. And I remembered, it took me a second, but I remembered that this really is about service, and it is about giving back to this organization all that I have gotten out of it. And when I shifted my perspective and recognized that while it's true, I don't feel like I need a credential, I do feel like I owe it to this organization to continue to lend my time and talent. And what an incredible honor and privilege it is to have folks think that you are ready for such a role. And so with that attitude adjustment, really started again having conversations with folks, and timing has worked out such that this is a good time for me. Not only have I been involved in NCCSD, but I'm also involved in my local community in some leadership roles in nonprofit organizations. And so wrapped up some of that work to create space in my world for this. And so very much now looking forward to shepherding this organization. I agree with Jim. It is a bit daunting. And you do have that moment of like, please don't let me screw this up. Like, don't let me leave it worse off than when I found it. And Jim has left us in such a great position that will be hard to follow. And There are still some things I think we need to do in the coming year. So we had, before Anne-Marie left, recognized that we don't have a very robust process for executive director performance development and performance review. And so with a new ED coming on and wanting to support him in every way we can, want to pick that back up and really put together a process that we are being clear with our executive director about what our expectations are and what our needs are. And we have a format or a process in which board members can help us know if those expectations are being met or not. So there's some of that work that needs to happen. One of the things also in supporting Chris is helping put together sort of a calendar of all the stuff that happens in the year. You know, some of it is pretty cyclical, but helping that so that, you know, we don't get caught with recognizing, oops, we forgot to refresh memberships for organizations, which is a thing that happened. How can we continue to work on that? When I think about membership, I'm very interested in our member experience and want us to spend some time thinking about what that member experience is and what are things we can do to support and enhance the experience of our members. So that's an area that I'm interested in. Clearly, we are going to be in Detroit for Leadership Symposium next year, which is in my backyard. Very excited about that. So there are other things that I think are going to come up in the year. I recognize that best laid plans don't always get executed. So I think that there are opportunities for all of our committees to continue to grow for PGR. You know, I'm interested in not only us continuing to think about the legislative proposals that we've been working on, but also think about some new things that maybe weren't in those proposals. So, for example, we did a lot of work on the performance measures and making adjustments to the existing measures. I'm curious about us having a conversation around what are we not measuring that maybe we should start measuring, or is there a way for us to thoughtfully start to reduce our dependency on the collection space as the foundation of the performance measures when it comes to incentive delivery? I recognize that as this program continues to shift and we are doing more about setting orders that people can pay, we're doing more around supporting parents and having access to their kids and how that can reflect how much they owe, that large orders are really not the name of the game anymore. And if large orders aren't the name of the game, then are collections really the foundation that they should be? Again, the way that the collections are weighted makes a difference, especially as states continue to think about ways to wean themselves off cost recovery when it comes to the child support program. And so I think there's opportunity there for us to have some conversations. So yeah, there's lots of places across the organization that I think we'll be able to continue to make some progress. I think the two sort of new spaces that I'm interested in us pursuing and thinking about are really centered around the access and inclusion components of the program. I would love to see us figure out how we could build a parent advisory council or committee as part of NCO's organization structure to really bring in those voices. So we've drafted a diversity, equity, inclusion commitment statement, and we'll finalize that here shortly. We wanted to get some feedback at Leadership Symposium from the broader membership. And then we really have to start living into that commitment statement that we've made, and a parent advisory could be a good way to do that. I'm also interested in inviting the board into some deeper conversations around understanding systems, systems of marginalization and oppression, and the ways in which child support is also a system and may be helping or harming certain communities. And so would love to pursue that work with the board and then see where that goes throughout the organization as well.
Wow, lots to think about, lots upcoming.
Not just two things. She got lots of things.
Yeah, that's the challenge, is I am not known for my laser focus. And so I also recognize that some of that stuff is going to need more involvement from me than other things, right? And that's why we have such a great organization full of, you know, I had over 150 folks fill out volunteer forms.
Wow.
And, you know, we have roughly 15 standing committees across the organization. So there's plenty of help there to get some of that stuff done.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So Jim, you talked about some of your successes, some of your challenges, and I've just got to ask this question. Speaking more so from the heart, what has been your greatest reward this past year? You know, what resonated? What was deeply touching this year?
There were, I think, a lot of those moments. It has been a definite honor to serve, and the year has been meaningful. It is all about service to the organization. You know, one of the first challenges of the president that I was moaning about at this time last year was the challenge of converting all of those volunteer statements of interest into committees, but not just allocating them among the committees, but also giving them a good, meaningful charge that sets them up for success in their objectives. Erin was really, really helpful with her background in our strategic plan to make sure that the charges didn't just match the bylaw description of the role of the committee, but also had them thinking about what their component part might be to the overall strategy of the organization. So it was very satisfying early on once these committees were formed and the charges given. The chairs just took it and ran with it and did such a great job. And all the committee members that they had were just supporting that effort. So you feel good there that, you know, you're at the helm of a ship that is just going 100 miles an hour. You know, it's really, there's a lot of energy and enthusiasm. So that was early on a big part of it. You know, this was a chance for me to go full circle in my career. Before I went to law school, I worked on the Hill. And to go back to the Hill as an advocate for the IRS issue was something that I really felt privileged to do. And then Erin and I talked about this as it was happening, because we were there on both sides of the aisle, and it didn't matter if it was Senate or the House. You felt this support for the program in general, that they really wanted to do right by child support. They could see through the myths of the program and recognize the good that we did. And so it felt really good to know that we're working in a program and internally we're trying to do our best. But Congress, which ultimately could do all kinds of things to us in federal law, is really supportive and in some places was eager to know what else they might be able to do to help us. So that felt good, because it seemed like it's an optimistic program that has a lot of great things in the future for us. During the year as the board president, you know, you put yourself out there. I tried to run meetings that were brief and well organized, and did try to create an environment where people could talk. And so periodically when board members would just say thank you, or really appreciate how you approached that tough deal, or you run a great meeting, you know, things like that were encouraging. But the icing on the cake had to have been a leadership symposium when, as the president, I was is enabled to deliver some awards to some very deserving recipients. And really, even though it was the president giving the award, when I shared with board members who I was looking at for recipients, they were such clear consensus winners that it felt good to be the spokesperson for the whole organization and to see the impact that those awards would have on the recipients.
And Erin, if we had a crystal ball or something, or some kind of a monitor to look into the future, what would you predict might be your greatest reward for this upcoming year when it's all said and done?
Gosh, that's a tricky one. I hope, I'll say it this way, I won't predict. My hope is that at the end of my year as president, folks feel more connected to NCIA as an organization and to each other. My hope is that my own friendships and relationships continue to strengthen and deepen. And that I also hope that NCIA continues to have the reputation it does now of being the voice of the child support community and future focused. And so I think if I get to the end of the year and someone says to me, "Hey, Aaron, like, we feel better off than we were before you got here and not worse," I'll consider that a success.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, Jim, what will you miss most about being NCS president?
Nothing. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm looking forward to hiding for the first few weeks. I think Lisa Skenador did that when she was done. The first thing she did was leave the country and enjoy a little downtime. What I'm going to miss most is, you know, I really still feel the urge to help child support, to be involved in NCIA. And when you're the president, you know, wherever you feel like your help would be beneficial, you can insert yourself and offer that. And I'll miss that as the president, but I'm just hopeful that I'll stay involved and be able to contribute in any way that I can. Someone mentioned recently that NCIA as an organization, you get back a lot than you put in. And I certainly feel that way. So I just want to stay involved and help.
Yeah, and I'm confident you're going to do that. There's no way I can see Jim Fleming stepping aside and being silent for very long, only because NCIA matters to you and child support matters to you. So, Jim, thank you for that.
Thank you, Tim.
And Jim, you'll continue to serve in NCIA's board of directors as immediate past president. How do you see this role, and what are you going to be doing over the course of this next year?
Well, after I escape for that minimum 2-week period in September, I just want to be a resource for Aaron and the other executive committee and for Chris Wood. Not that she needs it, but she's got a busy day job herself, and the extent to which I might be able to help her by taking care of a smaller task that she doesn't need to consume her time, I'll be glad to step in if there's help I can give. But the role of any past president is really just to be there as a resource, to be encouragement when it seems like it might be needed, and otherwise to just be helpful and supportive. And that's what I plan to do.
Yeah.
It's easy when it's one of the people I have the highest regard for in my life.
That does make it easier. So, Aaron, what is one piece of advice that you hope Jim will give you, or maybe he already has, as you come into this presidency? And Jim, feel free to answer this after Aaron answers.
Well, we might have touched on this a little bit already. I guess maybe I'll, if I take the privilege of adjusting the question slightly, what I hope Jim will give me is his continued support and friendship and advice along the way. So I'm not looking for one piece of advice. I'm looking for consistent advice all along over the coming year. Jim and I have worked in together for a long time now, and I think in some ways balance each other out really effectively. And so I am hopeful that Jim continues to hold me accountable when I need to be held accountable, is willing to say the stuff that needs to be said in a caring, kind way, as he has with me over the years. And I think what the value of Jim's experience as president over the last year means that he does have the credibility to be able to say, "Hey, Aaron, just so you know, like, you could step in this, and maybe you don't want to step in that thing, and here's how you could avoid it." And I really value and respect that, and just hope Jim continues to help me avoid the pitfalls, potential pitfalls along the way.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't think it's going to be too needed, but Tim, I think it would be interesting to share. But back in the old days for NCIA, every former president was a member of the board for life. And I've heard Sharon Santilli and other presidents who used to try to be the president during those days, how trying those meetings were. Because you look out across the room and you're looking at all of these former presidents who are apparently quite willing to say, "I told you so," or to offer unsolicited opinions about how you, the president, ought to do your job. And I can imagine the paralysis that inflicted on the organization. It's like, so now that we don't have that, we have one past president's council rep instead. You know, I my goal is to certainly not be the one sitting there with a scant eye at Aaron saying, you really think that's a good idea? I just want to show that support and let her be Aaron without worrying about what her predecessor is going to be sitting there thinking. She'll know what I'm thinking, but it will always be supportive and looking out for her success as well as the organization.
Yeah, you know, this question is kind of like that proverbial letter that's left in the Resolute desk in the Oval Office for the next president coming in. But I think it's important, and it kind of gives that flavor of how one president supports the next as that transition is made. And it's really kind of cool to hear. So, Aaron, what do you think will be your first challenge or maybe set of challenges as you start your presidency really in just a couple of days?
Well, yeah. So the first one is just getting the committees organized. Oh, my goodness. I thought I had an appreciation, but I really didn't, about the intensity of the work to get those set up and off and going in a way that doesn't make you feel like you've lost a bunch of time, but also gives time for that transition to happen, right? Like, there is a transition, and some committees will be getting new committee chairs, and there are always new committee members that join new committees. And so that has been a lot of work over the last week or a couple weeks, and will continue, I think, into the first couple weeks of September. I think bigger picture, one of the things I've been thinking about a lot and that I think will be a challenge for us is sort of what to do with the legislative agenda and where to take it and how to progress it and move it forward, given the nature of working with Congress right now. And no, I'm committed to not letting that just sit on the shelf. And yet the path forward is not super clear at the moment in terms of where that goes next or how it might get packaged or move forward. So I think that's going to be a challenge to continue to walk alongside that process and try to get some progress on it. And then I wouldn't call it a challenge, but I am also cognizant that we do have a new executive director and wanting to make sure he's supported. So one of the things I've asked Jim to do already is just be an extra resource for Chris. Jim not only has the experience of having done this for a year already, but he also has a lot of the historical knowledge of this organization that I think will benefit Chris as he makes it through his first full year as executive director. So that'll be something that I'm paying attention to make sure that we are setting Chris up to be as successful as possible.
Lots is going to happen. Lots is going to occur. So Jim, speaking of historical knowledge, I've got to circle around to an important event that happened under your presidency, and that was a culmination of much thought, energy, agreement from the executive committee, board of directors, namely speaking, NCA's name change. So let's pause here for a moment to give this more attention and reflection. This is huge. It's a big deal. And you mentioned really, and I'll just paraphrase, that this went pretty seamlessly through. But it's incredible. So I'm just gonna pose some questions to you in case some of our listeners didn't quite catch it the first time. What did NCA's name change to?
We are now the National Child Support Engagement Association, as opposed to the Enforcement Association, which is the historical development of what the original name was, which is a mouthful: the National Reciprocal and Family Support Enforcement Association. Say that three times fast.
There's no way. There's no way. And to think of it as an acronym that you can say, I tried that. There's no way.
NERFC doesn't roll off the tongue.
No.
Quite sure what that means. So how did this name change come about, and why is it important for association members and the larger child support community?
Well, for me, it goes quite a ways back. In 2016, we had the leadership symposium in New Orleans. And the board was meeting before that meeting. And we had been talking about enforcement really being outdated in our name, even back in there. And a number of states, including mine, had dropped enforcement from their name. And so during that meeting, and I remember because I had to participate virtually, my state was under a budget shortfall and I was not able to attend in person. But I made a motion to change the name of our organization. I didn't have a bright idea on what to call it instead. I just said, I move that we drop the enforcement from the name of the organization. I was tired of talking about it. I mean, I'm kind of a pragmatic person. It's like, if we have consensus that we should be changing things, then let's just do it already. Let's figure out a way to do it and resolve that we're going to do it. So I threw that motion out. And there was a pause and there was some gasps, or I don't know if it was gas. I wasn't in the room. But then they talked about, yeah, but. Yeah, the yeah buts kick in. Well, yeah, but what about our website? What about our branding? What about all this other stuff? Shouldn't we maybe go, and it got talking about what the optimal E word might be. And so in the end, they took my motion and made it instead that they would refer this matter to a committee. And when I utter the phrase, refer the matter to a committee, I bet you can guess where that went. No place. What they ultimately decided was, well, let's not use the words National Child Support Enforcement Association. Let's use the acronym and let's change the tagline to being, you know, the voice of the child support community. So we were de-emphasizing the enforcement part of the name, but it was still there. So then fast forward another 4 or 5 years and WCSIC changed their name. And I was on the board at WCSIC and I was quite supportive. I thought, great, this is good. But as part of that conversation, a person who was on the board back in 2016, which didn't go this direction, simultaneously complimented WCSIC on making that change and then negatively referred to NCIA saying, well, they still haven't got their name changed. And it irked me. I said, good God dang it. You were in the meeting where I tried this and you were one who wanted to get to the committee and you were on the committee and you didn't make any change. So it's nice. It's all well and good for you now to brag up WCSIC getting the change and then forget the fact that you had a hand in NCIA not doing it. So it kind of irked me. So I let Lori know last year that I was going to bring this up under unfinished business because I thought, darn it, I'm tired of people talking about how they want to change the name. Put up or shut up, which is it certainly more delicately and diplomatically, I laid that out to the board. But that was pretty much it. I think we should change. And if we can at least get that motion approved, then we can talk about what we would change to. And so it was a two-part question posed to the board. And the first part of that really sailed through without too much trouble. They passed the motion and said, we agree to change. Great. It passed. Then we started talking about the E words. And we talked about how friggin' hard it would be to change our website. When you start to do any variation and Aaron earlier on the podcast talked about the National Parent Support Association. We would have to go NPSA and go put that on the website and see if anybody claims that domain. And we would have to change all the branding. And it's a real pain. And so ultimately said, you know what? Engagement fits. The title doesn't sing as much as a lot of people would like. But it has a lot of practical appeal because we can keep the acronym, we can keep the website, we keep all of our logos and things. And if down the road we wanted to change that, we can. But at least having agreed already we're going to change the name, this was the quick and easy win. And so for a change, we didn't do things the hard way, we did things the easy way and just kept the E and went with engagement. But it didn't reflect any recent change in the program. I think we've been there since it was floated many years ago. It just took an unfortunate amount of time and I don't know, it took the right push, I guess, to make that happen. And I'm really glad that it did, because once you put that question out there, the board was all on board with it. They agreed that engagement fits with regard to how we want to engage families. And Aaron's got some ideas on how we can make that even stronger engagement with families. As a member organization, we want our members to engage with us and we want to engage with them. So the word engagement fit really, really well. It also had the blessing of the current commissioner because we know how she loves to talk about engagement. So that was kind of that's a nice side effect as well. Not that she was consulted in any official role. I don't want to suggest that, but it was the right time. And thankfully it got done. And, you know, I might have been the one who made the motion, but it didn't need a lot of help to say for the whole board to agree that, yeah, it's time that we change this to something else.
Yeah, you know, Jim, sometimes things happen at the right time for the right reason, and this just really felt like it was that time. You know, and Aaron, for those of us that know you, I've got to ask, how does diversity, equity, and inclusion fit into this name change?
Yeah, so I think sort of picking up where Jim left off, one of the other things that I thought was very interesting when we talk about timing was, you know, it took us a year from that board motion to get through all of the, even without changing the acronym, to make the name change happen in our bylaws and in our articles of incorporation. And so it really only became official, right, almost a year later. And also in that time, the Office of Child Support Enforcement changed their name and took enforcement out, and Office of Child Support Services now. And so I think that, you know, when we think about why it's important for the larger community, it goes back to what Jim and I talked about a little while ago around our identity as a program. And I think all of us have recognized that enforcement isn't our sole identity, that it is a part of that, but it is not, it's not what we want to only be known for. And so moving away from enforcement in our name makes a lot of sense, and I think is in alignment with where programs across the country are going as well, in recognizing that enforcement is a piece of what we do, but it is not the core of our work. When I think about the work of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and that theme of engagement, there's obvious connections, right, in terms of as we build a more engaged community within NCIA, we would expect that to be more inclusive, for example. As we bring in more voices, we would expect the diversity of the organization to continue to grow. And as we think about the ways which we engage with each other and with those that we serve, we'll continue to think about who's being helped and who's being harmed by our program and the policies we implement. I think there's also an important component of this work that is around access. And one of the things that creates, you know, an equitable, inclusive, diverse organization is accessibility. And so I think there will be continued to be work in terms of how do we make the program more accessible? How do we make NCIA more accessible? How do we continue to provide value to our members in a way that they feel like there's a place for them here, no matter where they work in the program or how they show up in their work lives in terms of identity. And so I think there's lots of opportunity for us to continue to build on that engagement theme and really recognize that we're all in this together. And as we continue to debate and discuss and propose and suggest ways in which this program continues to evolve, you know, we are doing it together. We can't do it by ourselves.
So I've just got a comment to our listeners. Get ready. It's going to be another whopping year. Lots going on. Lots to get involved with. Lots of adventure. Just lots. So, Jim, every year at the Leadership Symposium, the current president, that would be you, gives out awards acknowledging service and commitment in many capacities. Can you share who the recipients of some of those rewards were?
I'll be glad to do that because they are some amazing people. As Aaron knows, when we went through the bylaw revisions and we were both studying what the bylaws had to say about committees and charges and things like that, there's actually quite an impressive list of potential awards that NCIA hands out, but several of them had not been awarded for quite a while. And that's too bad, because as challenging as the work is, you know, celebrating successes and celebrating gratitude is really, that goes a long way, no matter how long a person's been involved in the program. So it was a great opportunity to look at that. Earlier this year, we went off cycle. The bylaws suggest that these awards be given at the leadership symposium. Well, Anne-Marie Ruskin wasn't going to be at the leadership symposium. She's going to be retired. And despite my angst at her for retiring during my term, I still felt like she really was a deserving recipient. So she earlier this year received an honorary life membership in NCIA for her work. I was very glad to suggest, and the board agreed, or the feedback I got from the board, these two names came right to the top of the responses. But they, Robbie Endress, who's with Conduent now and had been the Louisiana Child Support Director, she was given an honorary life award. Lori Bankston, who is an immediate past president, had been on the board for 8-9 years in a million different helpful roles. She also got an honorary life membership. Thought about, we're supposed to only have three, which became a challenge because Margot Bean was also someone who has contributed so very much to the organization over the years. She was the sitting president of NCIA when she was selected to be the commissioner. So, I mean, that's, talk about upheaval to NCIA. They had to go find a new president because OCSE at the time took the one we had. But NCIA has an award named after a former executive director for someone who has just gone above and beyond to further child support, to further NCIA's organization, to further its service to members. And Margot Bean was just a fantastic recipient of that award. So I was very glad to give the Kathy Dugan Award to Margot. It was the first time in 5 years that that award had been given. Another award I hadn't been given in a while was the Corporate Associate of the Year Award, which I kind of understand because, you know, it's hard in NCIA, it's hard to single out one private partner over the others without risking hurt feelings or angst that you're giving a competitor a leg up kind of thing. And so it can be a fine line to walk, but at the same time, there's a lot of work that's being done to further child support by the private sector. And this last year, Lisa Skenador's employer, SMI, has maintained their active corporate partnership. They're at the highest level of partnership for NCIA. But they've also been extremely supportive of and encouraging for Lisa to go to the Hill in Washington and continue to advocate for revisions to the Internal Revenue Code to solve the contractor problem. She's been working at that for 15, 20 years. There just was no one besides her and Tishkiana Cruzan who could step in and do that. So the support of SMI was so vital to continuing that effort that, along with being just a great corporate partner for NCIA. So I was glad to give that award to SMI this year. And then the last one was the Private Sector Individual of the Year. And we have an awards committee that gives a couple of public sector awards, but the private sector ones are not bestowed by that committee. They're bestowed by the president with the consultation of the board. And really, Bob Williams was the guy in the middle of PGR one day that just said, how about if we come up with a proactive legislative agenda that we push instead of just reacting to any interested congressional office when they got legislation? And that began a project that I think was really worthwhile. When I grow up, I want to be like Bob Williams. He's amazing. And to continue to be as effective and knowledgeable and articulate as he is for so long is just a testament to his commitment to the program. So he was the award recipient of the Private Sector Individual of the Year. And what was kind of fun is to contrive ways that all five of those recipients were in the room for the award and did not know they were getting it ahead of time, because then you get the unscripted joy and gratification, and you saw the real people come out when they got that award. And it was, I think everybody in the room who heard them just could tell how touched they were, no matter how accomplished in their career they might be. And that was fantastic.
Yeah, such deserving folks really got these awards. And it was so cool to see. Fun fact, did you know that Bob Williams flew his own private plane with his family to Alaska in the past? Just saying. Mm-hmm. So as we close, I want to ask you both this question. If you both had one thing to say or implore to our NCIA members, and really to the child support community as a whole, what would it be?
Jim's going to make me go first on this one. You know, that's a great question. I think it would be remember that you are part of something bigger. And whether that's in your day jobs or part of NCIA or even whatever other programs you yourself might use, and that as part of something bigger, we both have responsibilities in that community to show up in ways that are kind and courageous and productive. And we also have tremendous benefits in terms of support and resources that we can take advantage of when we need it. And so I would say stay involved. And also, it's okay to ask for help when you need it. We don't all have to do all the work all the time. That's the beauty of a community. And then finally, you know, let's all continue to remember what we're here for in the first place. And that is to ensure that the children that grow up in this country not only survive, but thrive and pass that thriving on to their next generation.
So that's why she went first, because I could not be that articulate. I would say get engaged. Get engaged. You know, the running joke about being a nonprofit and volunteer organization is if you do the job right the first time, you're guaranteed to keep doing it over and over and over. Get engaged. When you get engaged with NCIA, you're going to find like-minded individuals that really will challenge you and will motivate you and encourage your development as a professional. Engagement will lead to further development of your skills, which will empower you to do a better job for the families we serve. It also give you a pretty good feeling inside that you are becoming that much more proficient at the work that you do. And so when you go home at the end of the day, you feel like that time away from your own family has been well spent because you're helping others.
And can I add real quick, Tim? And just on that last point, my husband jokes with me sometimes that when I go to NCIA events that I'm going on vacation, and I remind him that this is actually a ton of work. And we build some really great friendships and relationships that make that work all that much more enjoyable. And so I think there's a great opportunity here to make some lifelong friends.
Yeah, yep. Well, we've enjoyed our time together with NCIA's Jim Fleming and Aaron Frisch talking about their roles in being NCIA's president. I always appreciate the time to connect and engage with both of you and having a chance to reflect on the work that NCIA does, what each of you have contributed, and to hear about where we go from here. I appreciate the leadership that you've both shown and offered over the years, and for the support that you have not only shown to NCIA, but to me personally. Thank you. I want to thank our listeners for continuing to listen to our On Location episodes, including today's podcast. We will talk to you again next time on the podcast. On behalf of NCIA's Communication Committee, I'm Tim Leitner, and this has been On Location. On Location is available on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. We have a lot of great episodes on the way, so be sure to subscribe and listen to all of our previous episodes as well. We also appreciate your ratings, your feedback, your comments, and your suggestions. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please reach out to us on the contact link on our website. On Location is a production of the NCIA Communications Committee with special production assistance from Joe Mamlin and me. Thanks again for joining me. I'm Tim Leitner, and this has been On Location.